I see this fairy tale as really one of the best imaginable examples of the bond between brother and sister, the way in which that bond might have a unique quality. In my book, I speak of the bond as characterized by the qualities of mutuality, equality, and harmony, particularly where such energies as power and authority are concerned. You can see the easy flow of authority between the brother and sister in these two parts of the tale. When Hansel takes authority during the two trips into the forest, collecting pebbles and then the less effective plan of breadcrumbs, Gretel accepts the authority that her brother takes on himself. Much later, in the witch's hut, when Hansel is in a cage and Gretel has relative freedom of movement, she comes up with a plan, and the roles are reversed. Now Gretel has the authority. The two siblings seem to relate to each other's power or authority with no rivalry or struggle for dominance. It's a relationship in which there's mutuality, equality, and harmony. Those are the key elements. These are really important aspects of the potential that a brother-sister connection gives to the relationship between both males and females and between the masculine and the feminine aspects of our own individual personalities. As I've been thinking about this tale recently, I've become curious, Eleanor, about the idea of the step-parent and how the step-parent might enhance or hamper the development of these sibling bonds, either as step-parent to both siblings, as in Hansel and Gretel, or as step-parent to one and parent to the other of the siblings. I have some hunches, but I'm really interested in what your hunches are, too.
My experience with working with children who've grown up with a step-parent and yet have, you know, a full-blood relationship is very often they are closer than perhaps they might be if they had biological parents and didn't have this sort of disconnection from their original family. Just as in this tale, it's the disconnection from their biological father that sort of bonds them. They're having to rely on each other. They're having to connect with each other. Certainly my experience with my own brother. I think it can be either that the step-parent encourages this and supports it and guides it, which is certainly a more conscious position and a much more loving one, or as in this case, it is her negativity and intense dislike of the children that forces them to do that. I think it is one reason I love Jung's work is that, you know, either what it would be normally considered bad or good can produce an outcome that has some value. It's how it is worked with. Certainly in this tale, we have a very passive father who's doesn't have the emotional wherewithal to stand up to the stepmother figure and guide the children, so they really are relying on themselves. And I have certainly heard hundreds and hundreds of stories where, you know, impoverished parents have left children to the point where they really did need to rely on themselves for sustenance and for authority and for being responsible. The number of, I think we both have worked with people who've been sort of parentified way too early and had to be parents for younger siblings. That's harder when there's a big age gap. But close siblings can very often end up with a kind of mutuality and sharing that is very unique and can be very, very positive and spill over into their adult love life, both with the way they relate to each other, the way they relate internally to their own masculine and feminine, and also the way they choose friendships. I think children like this often are the ones that can say, of course I can have a friendship with the opposite sex without being sexual, whereas for many other people that seems to be a huge problem.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's something like conscious step-parenting.
Yes.
That we're talking about. Maybe a more unconscious step-parent would be encouraging by their negativity for the children to develop a relationship with each other because they can't rely on that elder.
Exactly.
But a more conscious step-parent could give some positive guidance in some ways to the relationship or to whatever developmental process the kids are going through. But because of the step that they're removed. Now, I know that's not the true definition of step-parent, but I'm going to use it just for this moment.
Okay.
Because they're removed a step from being the direct biological parent, perhaps a more conscious step-parent can have a bit of objectivity and detachment
yes.
to allow the siblings to develop relationships among themselves
yes,
more.
Yes, I think it's a conscious parenting that both biological and step-parents really
yes.
need to be doing is encouraging children to be, to have a mutuality and a respect for each other. And it certainly is something they can model, too, is being respectful of their own spouse. And I think there's also a place where step-parents can be respectful of the ex-parent or the ex-spouse that is another way of modeling a sibling relationship because, a stepmother and a mother or a stepfather and a father also can model a sibling conscious relationship in sharing power, sharing authority, sharing responsibility that can carry on as a model for kids, for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as often that happens, perhaps, as I wish, but it's certainly something that many people in my practice work on in their own therapy process, is not competing and getting into power struggles with another parent figure and being able to have some mutuality and tag-teaming back and forth as to who takes the authority at what period.
And that's exactly related to this idea of mutuality, equality, and harmony that I
yes.
talk about with the brother-sister relationship.
Yeah.
So in a sense, perhaps step-parents can model that. Perhaps the interrelationships among the biological parents and the step-parents can be a model for relationships that are more, let's say, cooperative than competitive, or at least competitive in the negative
yes.
sense.
Yeah. And it would be an interesting way of looking at co-parenting as being more of a sibling bond, because you really are
mm-hmm.
part of a family. It's a larger family, and step originally meant bereft. So those who are bereft of biological connection often can still have an enormous impact and teach cooperation in a way that teachers do and coaches and other mentor figures who share some of the parenting that goes on as we grow up. I was fascinated with the recent movie, Slumdog Millionaire, where you had that Hansel and Gretel theme again, and that sometimes kids without parental guidance can get so caught by the witches of this world, and they really do have to battle their way out of addictions and, finding whatever is sweet and available. This the biggest danger of not having active parents or active step-parents guiding this is that they will find other adult figures who very often are very dangerous. Here the siblings in their fight with the witch have certainly succeeded, just as they did in Slumdog Millionaire. But there are a lot of kids who don't make it. The witches and the drug dealers and the pedophiles and other kinds of people who really can destroy children.
There's a little Grimm's fairy tale titled Babes in the Wood.
Okay.
And that tale really takes up the same process as Hansel and Gretel, but it ends with the two children dying in the woods.
Okay.
They never meet up with a witch. They die, I believe that they die of cold. But they definitely just die asleep in the night. And I think that's a little bit different from what you're talking
right.
about with the witches being the sort of predator figures,
right.
which obviously is true in Hansel and Gretel. But the idea that this side of our psyches, the child,
mm-hmm.
This developing in us, really does need nurturing and protection from a more strongly developed, either if it's an internal part of our own individual development
right.
that needs our maturity to step in and take care of it, or the idea that, in fact, children can form these relationships with each other, but the relationship, the brother-sister relationship for actual children can only go so far without rejoining the positive parent, because exactly. The children are not able to completely take care of themselves. And if they didn't rejoin the father, they certainly might become prey to wild beasts in the forest, which would be like incredibly predatory adults out mm-hmm. there in the world. Or they would meet up with some other figures who would take them in and become step-parents.
Yes, yeah. I think there's I don't know of any tales which indicate that children ought to be raising themselves without adults.
Right.
It doesn't work that way, but the bond that children can connect with and that sense of mutuality and respect can be modeled by step-parents, can be supported by parents or step-parents. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're needed. I think sometimes step-parents feel like they're not that important and they shouldn't take that role. They don't want to be a parent. They will do almost anything to avoid, you know, being anything other than, you know, your dad's girlfriend or your dad's spouse, and avoid what children really need. They need guidance and support.
That's true. And not only do they need it, it's there, whether it's conscious mm-hmm. and developed as a relationship that stands outside the biological parent but still provides some guidance and support, or exists in the unconscious.
Yeah.
Because that adult in that household takes on some form of authority that the children can't take on for themselves. It's just a psychological process.